Welcome to the UUSM Connections Podcast, devoted to how Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo connect to our community and the world. I'm your host, Jack Brennan. My guest today is David Kramer, the president of the Board of Trustees at UUSM. Welcome to the podcast, David.
It's great to be back. Thank you for thinking of me.
I invited you because our congregation recently made a difficult decision regarding the property that UUSM owns at 314 East Santa Ynez. In the end, members voted by a large margin to go ahead and sell that property. What I want to focus on today is not the arguments about what to do, because that decision's been made, but I'd like to focus on the process of making this important decision. Before we get into the decision itself, can you tell our listeners about the history of UUSM's connection to this property, like when and how it was first purchased by UUSM and what the initial plans were for what we would do with it?
I'd be happy to. A lot of this will be hearsay because this happened well before you or I joined the church. I've only been here for 6 years as a member, going on 7 as a visitor, but we've owned that property for 10 years. And my understanding was people had been eyeing that property for a while. There was a vision that if we had that whole block on San Ynez, that it would be good for various reasons. The place where your office is, the cottage, used to be somebody's house. If we filled in that last corner, we'd have the entire block. It became available, and a scramble went about to raise enough money to buy it for roughly $1 million. One of our congregants was our broker on it and knew the owner and found a time when she was interested in selling. I think part of the reasons why they're excited about, again, this is hearsay because I wasn't here, but they're excited about the idea of having the whole block is because every few years or decades, the church considers selling the property and moving to a more appropriate facility, whatever that means. At that time, they were looking for something larger because we were pushing 200 members, experimenting with doing 2 services on Sundays, and people were thinking we were on this growth trajectory, which would continue forever. And the thought was we might need to sell the church and that it would be much more valuable if the property was that entire block. Then we could pick the appropriate church with lots of parking or transit access, whatever it is we wanted. That's happened several times in the past, and it's hard to find a piece of property that meets your needs. And again, this gets tricky because a lot of the donations and stuff were considered confidential, and people take that very seriously, so seriously that it's hard to find the information. But I believe what happened is we had $500,000 or so set aside in a capital budget improvement cubbyhole somewhere for the church. We needed $1 million to buy this piece of property. And I believe it was the minister at the time, Reverend Ben, started reaching out to our congregation asking for people to make directed donations, or in some cases they were loans, and approached some of our more generous folks, and they donated it, stepped up, brought another $500,000 to the table. Big chunk was his loans. I believe all those loans were eventually converted to donations. They went ahead, purchased the property, and then started on the visioning for how the campus would go. So they started a capital campaign, looking to raise, paraphrasing again, $1 million, and raised well over $2 million. So started a vision, how do we use all this money? We weren't going to spend anywhere near that amount, and went back to a big blank piece of paper and came up with a plan that was centered around building a brand new education / meeting / has an apartment in it building with glass and stuff on the corner where 314 is, and the sanctuary, et cetera, and the RE building, which is not real estate, it's religious exploration, but it also says on real estate. And then it turned out, after we priced that grand vision, that the money we had wasn't anywhere close to what we needed to do it all. We ended up scaling it back and just basically doing the work at the sanctuary. And as that fell aside, I'm getting ahead of the story, but That's why we ended up with an empty building for just about a decade. I think it'll be 10 years in August, next month.
Right, right. We had not even made a start on any of the big plans of what to do with 314 at that time. I guess it then turned into the project for remodeling the sanctuary and making it accessible and all that. Why and how did this discussion about what to do with 314 start? It had just been sitting there for a long time. Why didn't we just leave it sitting there? Why did we start talking about what to do with 314?
I joined the board roughly 3 years ago, and about that time, a couple of people had come to the decision. Grand vision we had for it never made it through the planning process, not even the building permit process. We never made it through the planning process. I'm not exactly sure what the dispute was. I think it was something about parking. But since then, the rules have all changed. So what we had submitted would never get approved at this point. I think it was either my first or second board meeting. The president said, hey, this didn't work. We should just tear that building down and get rid of it. Some concerned people said, wait, you can't do that. You haven't done the work to determine that's the proper decision. A couple of years later, when Becky took over as president, she latched onto that, I'll say, but she wanted to follow up on that and was very concerned about 314. But the question was, we only have so much money and we have so much property, and we shouldn't look at 314 in a silo. We should look at the campus. She formed a committee she called ECO, Exploring Campus Options. So the idea was, do you spend $100 million on that corner and let our e-space go to dust? Or how do we spend the money we have left? How do we address it? Mm-hmm. I was on that ECO as a trustee. We started in June of 2023, and the membership went in and out, but the leaders were mostly James worked on it, Becky Howlin, Tom McCune, longtime member, very talented architect and project manager, a couple other people, but just started pulling at that thread. Our charge was to explore every possible plan for the campus, which has some problems with the math, but a lot of thoughtful people and a lot of time spent on it, and ended up trying to go back to the fundamentals of how much space do we need and what do we think we're going to use the space for, and are we growing or are we shrinking? Tom McCune tried to sum that up a couple of times in a chart that showed basically what would happen under different scenarios. The question is, do we need more space? And we looked at all sorts of things, because you could tear down what we have and build back, but we're actually bigger than we were allowed to build back. So we tried to explore them all. So spent from June of 23 until December of 24, trying to come up with all the options and a good recommendation. What I pressed us to do and we ended up doing was going back to the entire congregation that exciting meeting in January of 25 with four scenarios that we could narrow down the path and then explore more in depth. And that didn't go over very well in that meeting.
What do you mean by it didn't go very well in that meeting?
It was always challenging to go back to people outside of the ECO because you get very detailed questions about one of the options or an option we hadn't considered very deeply. The answer was, no, we don't know that, but here's an extremely good guess of what it is. And we'd have to spend a lot of time to get a detailed answer on that. I was hoping we'd narrow down to one of four paths, and then we could dive deep on the sub part of that and be able to answer detailed questions. One of the choices was selling it. If we sold the property, we still don't know how much it will go for, how long it'll take to sell it. That takes time, and you have to spend time with people and figure that out. Some people were very upset that the option was on the table.
They didn't want that as an option.
Right.
But
my understanding.
Is it fair to say that the board was mainly looking at that option, or the ECO, maybe that's a better group to look at? Were they sold on that option?
No. We had kind of argued ourselves to a standstill, right? I thought we were bringing three options. We ended up putting a fourth option on the table, which was leave it alone and ignore it, just like we had been doing for the last 9 years, do that indefinitely. But was we could sell it and that would bring in money and we wouldn't have that option to proceed with that, but we'd bring in more money that we could spend elsewhere on the campus. We could develop it essentially as affordable housing, which would be a break even, but would be a lot of work, right? And the other idea was to tear it down and build something. I describe it as for our own use, but build something that we would use for church purposes. Wouldn't be as big. I don't know what it would be, but we would explore, and that would cost money too. But if we built it and then rented it out and used it for affordable housing was the thought at the time, but it would be essentially revenue neutral. It was spend money for ourselves, do something that gave us some flexibility in the future, but was revenue neutral, or sell it and have money come in. And I don't know how much it would be, but I thought there was enough information to make the decision. But each one of those is tricky and has lots of different permutations. So you could sell it and only sell it to affordable housing developers. You could only sell it to people who are going to operate a Crucible. I'm not sure that's actually legal. Or we could sell it and reserve parking rights, as one of our congregants is excited about. But that obviously changes the value. And going any further than we did, because we spent a lot of time talking to affordable housing people, you can only do so much hand waving. At some point, you have to jump in. And the people who do it are passionate about it. They would really like to build more. It's hard for them to say, no, it can't work, because anything can work. You just need patience and resources. Now, I don't know if that answered your question, because I kind of forgot what your question was.
It was, if the board or the ECO had a favorite going in.
No, and we were trying to go into open-minded and say, we've looked at everything. We could build something for ourselves. Crazy bad idea, but you surely could do it. We'd have to spend some more time on it. I personally love building affordable housing. I'm not sure that's something we should do as a church. The church would have to decide we want to do this as part of our mission, because it'd be a pain in the butt, right? But it could be worth doing if that's what people were excited about. Or we could sell it and somebody else could bring it. And the fourth option, which we left, was not do anything with it, which I honestly was not crazy about, and expressed my idea that that would be a terrible outcome.
How did the board make sure that everybody could express an opinion on this, or ask a question, or propose an alternative to just selling the property?
When we decided to address this in January, we had two meetings beforehand after the services, open for questions and gave a brief presentation. After the January meeting, where the congregation voted not to vote, to push it off for 6 months, we had two more meetings. And we also had the two congregational meetings where this was discussed. There was an update in between as well. We tried to have, depends how you count, but 6 or 7 meetings specifically where everyone was invited to give their input on it. I kind of tried to bend over backwards for people who were excited about things and had different ideas. So at the January meeting, I gave the podium to two different people who were one who did give a detailed presentation on what he thought could be done with it. Another one who I thought was going to express something, but then shut down the meeting in a misreading of Robert's Rules of Order. And then Wade Leshen got very energetic and excited about some ideas. We gave him the floor and gave him some time. And I know Tom McCune supported him a lot. And James, who's chairs our facilities committee, was very helpful in getting access and exploring options with them. So we tried hard that anybody had an idea got put out. Because what seemed to happen after January was we had put forward those four options I told you about, but we never really looked at one, which was build 1, 2, 3, or 4 housing units, market rate housing units there, and then rent them at market rate, as however you want to say it. The ECO kind of rejected that in passing, is not ticking any of the boxes. It came up in passing, and the feedback I got was from the people who were there since the beginning was that that was rejected out of hand by the congregation when they did their visioning for it. Like, no, we definitely do not want to do that. And I thought the idea of using it as the minister's housing that we could use to attract people here. But the feedback we had gotten from a few ministers going through, right, was that that's not something ministers want to do anymore. They don't want to live on campus, that it's a stressful enough position as it is, that being there 24 hours a day is not ideal any longer. That idea got flushed out a little more, got discussed. I'd like to think that everybody had a chance to answer their questions. There's still a lot up in the air, right? We don't actually have numbers. Construction and real estate are very fluid things.
Well,
but I'm convinced, and I was convinced in January, whether it's a 500,000 or 1,000,000 that we take in, or it's a 500,000 or 1,000,000 or 2,000,000, isn't really relevant. It's in or out. You know what I mean? We can probably go raise $2 million for a capital campaign, and we can probably raise 500,000. But either one takes starting a capital campaign to build something new.
Right.
So you'd have to decide, do you believe in that? I don't have $1 million to put toward it. Do I have the faith that I want to ask other people to put their money towards it? So if it was affordable housing, maybe. If it was minister housing, maybe. I don't know. And everybody feels differently. So that's why we tried to bring it back to the congregation to get some steerage on it.
Yeah.
Steerage means something different, but you know what I mean. But in the intermittent months, we put it back to the committee, and the committee came up with a directed yes or no digital question. Should we sell it or should we keep it? After the announcement of one of the listening sessions, accidentally, one of our longtime loving, trusted members hit reply instead of forward to the announcement and sent it back to the office saying, paraphrasing, but, oh, great, another discussion about this. And I responded to that person and said, you know, thorough communication in the democratic process often looks like boring repetition.
Yeah.
And it's hard when you're doing a meeting for the second, third, fourth time talking about options, to not sound like reading off the script. And and you know, we're people, so we have opinions. So you start cutting corners. I mean, you're an attorney for many years. One thing that always impressed me is when you get called for jury duty and the judge gives you that speech of why this is important and you should take your hat off and this isn't a punishment. And they sound so enthusiastic and like they believe it. And I'm like, wow, that's great. But this guy, woman, must give this speech twice a week.
Right.
40 years, and they still sound like they believe it. That's great.
We finally voted on it in June, and the people who were opposed to selling, did they get a chance to talk at that meeting? And
yes. Wade Leshen had put a lot of time into coming up with a plan and being able to answer questions and express his opinion about where the numbers that we had could go or could not go. And we had lots more questions and answers. And I'd got some pressure beforehand from a couple of people that because this issue was so divisive that we should require a supermajority to make the decision. As you can tell, I'm not a lawyer, but I didn't see any way in the bylaws to do that. If it was 51-49, I probably would push to have brought it back up again. Because we can revisit anything. We can make decisions as many times as we like. But
Yeah. But
I was happy that it ended up being 64-65% one way or the other. Because I didn't like the supermajority idea anyway, but I couldn't figure out how to make it work. Because if you were the person that had 63% on your way and didn't get it, that would be frustrating. We did not do that. We just did a regular up or down vote. I had wanted to make it specific, but it ended up just being, are we going to sell it or not? So we still need to go back to the congregation and decide what to do with the money, if we get money, assuming we make money, and how we proceed there.
So what does happen next? I mean, we voted to sell it. I don't see a for sale sign. What's going to happen? Do we have to decide how we're going to spend the money before we even count?
No. I haven't figured out how to proceed yet. My new secretary says, it's on the board, let's get a realtor and sell it. And got somebody else saying, hold on a second, I might have a cash buyer for it. I got other people proposing who would be on the committee to review it. And I'm not the first saying, well, we shouldn't have a committee, the board owns it, but board owns everything, right? Until the congregation owns it. We report to the congregation, but it's hard for 11 people to rapidly respond to stuff. We got to get it marketed and we've got to pick somebody to do it. I didn't plan ahead for that because I had no idea which way the vote was going to go and I didn't want to treat it as a done deal. Next steps haven't been figured out. I'm trying to figure out how to figure it out, but hopefully we'll have something in front of the board for this month's meeting. I'm open to suggestions.
My last question is just about when you think this process might get started.
Soon.
Okay. Excellent.
Remember, we just had an election. I'm in my lame duck year, and Betsy Blosser is still an officer, but she's a different officer now. We have new treasurer, vice president, and secretary. I'd like to have them at least involved in the decision, and then the board makes a decision on what we do next.
Okay. Thanks for this explanation, David. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your care about all of this. Many thanks to our listeners. Keep making connections.